and thank you for joining me, New Moon Mom, on my podcast for parents, pagans, and everything in between. Join us as we talk about raising heathens and burning sage. All right, so let's get this rolling. The first podcast is going to be about in bulk and traditions and all that, like we just talked about. And basic rundown in bulk happens usually between February 1st at sundown to February 2nd. It's also known as Candlemas or St. Brigitte's Day. It is the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, and it's kind of a nice way to celebrate the wakening of the sun, intro into spring, all that good stuff that we've all been looking forward to after a long winter, especially if you have children. Let's admit it, we love them, but it can be a bit crazy trying to keep them entertained all winter long. During this time, we celebrate the maiden aspect of the goddess, because spring, rebirth. We also start looking for ideas as to, you know, spring cleaning, cleaning out the garden beds, maybe even taking some time in cleaning up our altars. You know, when was the last time you dusted behind those mirrors? Especially if you are interested in getting your kids involved, it's a great time to have them do some spring cleaning as well. I know, don't laugh, but you can have them, you know, maybe it's a great time for them to start setting up their own altar. Maybe it's a great time to introduce them to the concept of planting seeds. Maybe you can make straw dolls or Brigitte crosses. Those are a great, easy activity that you can do with kids during this time. The other thing to start thinking about is, you know, getting into baking. Breads, cakes. Who doesn't love a good cake? All right, so let's dig into this. In bulk is one of my favorite times because, like I said, we really are dealing with the reemergence of spring. The warmer days are coming, and I love a good garden. I actually have three garden beds next to my chicken coop just to see. Paint the picture of who I am. And my boys love planting mint, they love cherry tomatoes, they love chives, they love helping me, you know, get everything going, which is awesome and I'm so thankful for. Around this time, I do tend to look at those seed catalogs a little longer than I should. I kind of put off the dishes in lieu of garden plans, and who can blame me? It's been a winter, we're ready. We're ready to see that sun, to hear those birds, and in bulk is that kickoff point for me. So let's dig into this and talk about why. You know, why are we celebrating this? Why do we celebrate the reemergence of spring? Well, for one, it makes us happy, and we should all be doing one thing a day that makes us happy. Even if it's something silly like planting a garden or doing a little tidying up, cleaning in bulk is a great reason to do that. The other aspect is that, you know, we're worshiping our traditions. There was a time when we thought the sun wasn't going to come back. And when we saw the days were getting longer, we saw the earth was starting to thaw and stir. We saw that animals were having babies, you know, the sheep. We got happy and we decided to tap those kegs, pour that ale, bake some bread and celebrate. And regardless of, you know, your background or what exactly it is that you're celebrating, you know, I think we all celebrated the fact that we weren't going to die in darkness. It's a great thing to celebrate. So for me, we celebrate with the goddess Brigitte. She is the embodiment of hearth and home. She is the goddess of fertility. She is, but also, you know, she's the goddess of smithing. Like, how awesome is that? She's creation. She comes in many forms. She's the maiden aspect. She's also related to medicine and crafting and all sorts of just wonderful great things that seem to naturally flow from us as the weather improves. So it makes sense. And I could go on and on about it, but there's Wikipedia if you need some more information. There's also lots of great books out there, which I'll actually be talking about at the end of this episode. One of the books that started me on my course that you might find helpful. So definitely stay tuned. But for right now, we're going to switch and we're going to talk about some more of the activities that you might want to incorporate into your celebration and things that you can do with your kids and how we can really just celebrate and enjoy with our families. So let's start talking about it. One of the things that they used to do during Imbolc is visit holy wells. Now, I was interested in this because we don't really have holy wells where I live, so I thought, well, what could we do? And why did they do it? So they would visit the holy wells and they would ask the goddess or Brigitte, whoever you were worshiping, for a bountiful harvest, good crops, a good spring, all that fun stuff. They would take the water and they would sprinkle it around on the ground where they grew, so maybe your garden beds, over your entryway, to your home. If you have animals, like I have chickens, maybe you would sprinkle a little on your chickens for good eggs. And they would also take clothing, either small outfits that they had made or strips of cloth that they would put in the holy water and leave out for Brigitte as an offering. And that's something really easy that you can do for your kids, with your kids. I don't recommend leaving your kids out overnight. It doesn't work out as well as you think it would. The neighbors tend to stare. Other things that they would do is, like we were talking about earlier, it's a great time for spring cleaning. It's a great time to wash your floors, wash down your entryways, clean out the hearth. If you have one, we have a fireplace. I'll be cleaning out all the soot from the winter, and we'll be using that in our gardens and with our chickens and all that stuff. Other things that you can do is we talked about simple altar ideas even. So what would be a simple altar idea? Because I know some people don't have the luxury of having their own space. Maybe you're sharing a space with someone and you're not quite boisterous, we'll say, about your traditions. Maybe you're looking for something simpler, a little more low-key. That's cool. No worries, no judgment. You do you. For that, I would recommend, I'm sure you've probably all seen this before, just a simple glass with some salt and a bay leaf in it. Light a candle on it. Write a wish on the bay leaf for the season. And leave it out overnight on Imbolc. Other things you can do are, like we had mentioned, the Brigitte crosses. So those are a little more in depth, and if you have an artsy crafty talent, it's a lot of fun to do, and it's fairly simple. They're made by straws being folded in a certain type of pattern. It's very hard for me to describe that, so what I'm going to do is add a downloadable printout for you at the end of this podcast, so with instructions as to how to make one. And if you have kids, I've done similar crafts with my kids when we've gone camping as a way of entertaining, and they've enjoyed it. It's fun, it's simple, it's probably only going to give you about 5 minutes of actual crafting time, but it's something you can do, and if you make it part of your tradition, it's something that your kids will start looking forward to. You can also light white candles on your altar or around your home, obviously being safe when you're lighting fire. You can also put out white flowers, all these things that symbolize spring and the rebirth and the resurgence of energy and creativity and good hope and all that wonderful stuff that we've all been looking for. You can also, what else could you do? Straw dolls. That's a little out of my league. But if you know how to make a straw doll, I applaud you, because those things look intense. But they look fun, and they could be a great activity to sit down and have your kids involved in. And I got asked this question a couple of times, so I'm going to sidetrack real quick. How do you get your kids involved? How do you get them excited about these things? And the honest answer is you just do it. You lead by example. My children are 8 and 5, and they're boys. And they are the boyest boys that you'll ever meet. They love climbing up trees, and they love jumping from rocks, and they love splashing in the mud. I will show you my laundry room one day. It is a hot mess. But once me and my husband decided to go down this path, we nonchalantly started dropping hints of things that we were doing and, why we were doing them, and, nothing not overbearing lessons about anything, but just here's a craft I'm doing because it's spring and it represents all the good things that I want to have happen for our family. And that's as deep as it went, because at 5 and 8, that's all they really care about. And they wanted to be involved because we were involved. They wanted to see what we were doing. And children, they learn by example. They learn by watching. And before you ever say anything, they're watching. Before you attempt your first ritual, before you, you know, invoke whoever you're invoking, and before you do anything, you know, maybe go for a hike. Maybe let them explore nature. Maybe your in bulk is a hike through your local woods, pointing out flowers that are starting to come out. Maybe it's gathering acorns. And you know what? That's amazing, because you are with your children and you are doing something to celebrate the return of spring. And I think all too often as parents, we put the pressure on ourselves, regardless of where we worship, what we worship, how we worship, we put the pressure on ourselves to make it perfect and follow the steps and Martha Stewart the crap out of it. Well, guess what? I'm no Martha Stewart. I'm more like Marge Simpson, just kind of trying my best. And I hope that this podcast offers some sense of camaraderie, that we're all in this together, and that we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be present. If nothing else, our children, what was that? They don't need a good mom. They don't need a good dad. They just need us there. So when people ask me, how do I get my kids involved? How do I introduce them to this? And well, guess what? You already are. They're watching you. They're staring at you and they're thinking, what is she doing with that? Why is that? And they might not know how to ask you the questions. So the best thing that you can do is offer the answers before they ask. And, you know, explain to them in your way what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I know that there are some of you out there who might have extenuating circumstances, because I think that for a lot of us, we just sort of, we have a fear, you know, that if I'm open about this, my family might not accept me. If I'm true about what I'm doing, I might lose connections. And I think that that's really heavy, and that's something that we'll get into later on. But for right now, for you and your family, for what you're doing in your world, in your home, I think it's okay for you to explain these things to your children in a way that they get. You know, like, it doesn't have to be we're worshiping the maiden aspect of the goddess with the things and the stuff and the lighting the candle. It can be, hey, spring's coming back. Do you want to help me plant a garden? Hey, do you notice that the days are getting longer? Isn't that awesome? You know, it doesn't have to be 7 levels of complexity. It can be at a child's level. It can be simple and beautiful in that simplicity. And I think that, you know, making a Bridget cross, that's awesome. That's simple. That's a magic in itself that you share with your children. And I think that we need to be a little more lenient on ourselves, not just as pagan parents, but as parents, and say that I'm here and I'm present with you, and to listen to our children about what they want and the questions they have, and be open to where they might lead us. Because I don't know, my boys, they surprise me all the time. Sometimes for the better, sometimes not. Sometimes, mainly for the messier. I will give you that. Mainly for the messier. That's my little tangent on parenting. But so back to the in bulk. Be a good parent, that's all. So my main thing that we love to do is, we plant the garden. So we think about our seeds, we think about what we're doing. By planting the seeds, we're creating life. And that's awesome. That's a whole beautiful form of magic in itself. And the way that I get my kids involved in it is I ask them, what do you want to plant? And I make sure that the garden has something that they're interested in. It also has a lot of what I'm interested in, but my son loves mint. And I will never tell him this openly, but I do not like planting mint. It is a weed that takes over your garden in an insane way. So we make sure that his mint is planted in its own separate special pot. And maybe if you do something like that, if your child loves mint or has a special plant, maybe you guys take a second and you create a special in bulk potting plant. Potting. So step one, ask your child, talk to them. If you guys are going to do a garden, ask them what they would like to plant and design something for that. Make it special. But no, don't make it special because of religion or beliefs. Make it special because you guys are sharing that moment. Make it special because you want them involved in what you're doing. The other thing that we do is we will bake. My mom is a great baker, and I inherited some of that. I basically, she gave me a cookbook. That's what I inherited. So we try our best, and we'll bake something. I have a bread machine, so I do kind of cheat on that. But we'll also do shortbread cookies, and if you want to, you can do sunbread is a very traditional in bulk recipe. So I will also add in at the end of the show notes, I will add in a recipe for you guys because I'm hoping that I get this out beforehand. That was always the thing that bothered me is I would find out about something, but it would have happened last week. And as a new or pagan mom, I like to plan ahead and I like to know what's coming up and I love to know how I can involve my kids because we have school and soccer and my husband and I are in a coven, so we have our own rituals that we're doing. We have our own events that we're going to, and we need to plan. So I'm hoping to get this out ahead of time so that you guys have time to buy the stuff that you want or to create the stuff that you want for your celebration. Oh, going back to gardening, it is a great time to plan out your herb section for your garden. I love gardening, in case you haven't picked up on that. I always make sure that one of my beds is specifically, sectioned off. This is mommy's section for flowers and herbs that I use throughout the year for medicinal and magical. Calendula is a huge one for me. I love that one. It's so universal. We also do lavender. One of the things that I love about the house that we moved into is it had four huge lilac bushes that just bloom in beauty at this time. So we would do sunflowers, or we would do, what else did we do? We did the lavender. We did rosemary and thyme and sage. Oh, my sage plant was beautiful. I can't wait to get it back. So yeah, so take some time again with the gardening. The other thing that you can do for your kids is you can paint rocks. I know it sounds so simple, but my boys love to paint. So give them some rocks and let them paint the rocks to mark the plants in the garden. That is a way that they can be involved momentarily. It doesn't have to, they don't have to be involved with the whole, gardening for the rest of the season, but they can also feel like like when they look out at the garden, they can see part of what they've created. Because I know sometimes with kids, they want instant results. They want to say, oh, I planted the seed. Did it grow? Did it grow? It's like, no, it's going to take a couple days. But by having the rocks that they painted out there or some sort of marker, they feel like that's part of what of them. They have a part in it, and that's a great way to keep them involved in it. Rambling ideas today, man. Thank you all for sticking with me through all of this. I hope this gets better with time, but this is my first podcast, in case you couldn't tell. Back to baking ideas. Like I said, the sunbread, the shortbread cookies, so easy, so delicious. You can also do, different sort of cakes and all sorts of goodies. I'll add some recipes in at the end for you guys to download and to work on. And you guys can let me know what you think about them. And if you guys have a certain recipe that you guys do, share away. Please, 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 please share. Share, 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 share. The idea of this is to build a community of parents who have a place to kind of springboard from, Like, we're not alone. You're not the only one out there. You're not the only one with the questions. Everyone's got the questions. Everyone has these, am I doing this right? Is this normal? Is this the, I mean, a big one for us is, was this the path for us? And I think a lot of people kind of struggle with that. And again, I'm gonna get sidetracked. One of the things that I am very, very fortunate about is that my extended family is very supportive. My parents are very supportive. My sisters are very supportive. They didn't bat an eye when I told them what we were going to be doing and how we were going to be raising our children. And I know a lot of you listening to this might not have that. So I wanted to create a platform where you could feel like you could come and listen and, maybe interact a little and know that you're not alone. And I think so long as what you're doing comes from love, you're doing the right thing. There's no one book on how to be the best parent. And I think we, like I said, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves about that. I think a lot, apparently, I say that a lot. But like I said, if you're doing it from love, if you're doing it with the intent of bettering yourself, bettering your children, bettering your family, and maybe even the world to a larger extent, if it comes from a place of love and hope and happiness, it's good. It's okay, It's good to be you. It's good to allow your children to see who you are and to let them be who they are. That's probably come up a couple times too, is what if your children don't want to follow? Well, hard and fast answer is then they don't. And that's okay. It's okay for your children to be different from you. I think everyone's goal is that our children will be better than us. That's mine. I have two insane little children right now, and I'm hoping that they become better. That was not the time to take a sip. I hope that they become better than me. And I think they're on their way. They're pretty cool. I like them. So, all right. I will talk for days about this stuff, and I wanted to keep this within half an hour. So, let's take a breath, go over it all again, and then talk about some of the other things. Because I want to do some fun things in here too. So we're going to go over a tarot card and its meaning, and then I'm going to talk about a book that I read that I think might help some of you who are starting off. All right. Okay, so fittingly, I wanted to talk about the major arcane card, the Empress, because we're dealing with a goddess. So I figured, hey, why not? It'll work. So the Empress is often depicted as sitting upon a throne wearing a starry crown, and she'll usually be holding a scepter in one hand. And she represents, the power over life and the dominance of the year and basically, growing things. And how fitting is that for in bulk? Growing, reemergence, all that fun stuff. So she's a traditionally associated with maternal influence. Maternal. I like it. So if you're hoping to start a family or start a new idea, a new endeavor, maybe a new tradition, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. She can represent all these things: creation of life, romance, art, or new business, new traditions, all that fun stuff. Love it. She is pregnancy, nurturing, abundance, maternal, new opportunity, and stability. Ooh, tell me I don't need that. Stability is wonderful. You guys are gonna get to know so much about me. If she's upside down, it could represent financial issues, stagnation, domestic problems, all that fun stuff. She is ruled over by the element of earth, which is grounding, all that stuff. Stability, grounding, earth, get it? Huh? Her ruling planet is Venus, and she is the third trump or the major arcane. So, and you can learn more by, there's a wealth of knowledge out there on the internet about different cards, meanings, and all that. I just wanted to sort of present you guys with one for each episode. It's something to think about. If you hear it, maybe it'll help you learn about it. So that's the card for this episode, is the Empress. Hope you enjoyed that little tidbit. And then for today's quick book review, I would like to talk about the book by Raymond Buckland, The Complete Book of Witchcraft by Raymond Buckland. This was the first book that I was handed, well, not handed, I purchased on a recommendation from who would become my high priest. And it was daunting to look at because I wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. But I have to say that the book itself was actually very informative, well written out, and gave me some good insight as to where I should sort of begin. It had ideas and sort of like instructions on how to do rituals and what was needed and why. It's always the why. If I can understand the why, I always feel better about things. So I would recommend, if you are, what do they call you? Baby witch. If you're a baby witch, maybe you should, my recommendation would be to pick up that book, Raymond Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft. You can buy it on the internet, on the world wide webs, for about under $20 roughly. So it's a good first time investment. I purchased mine at a local store, which I was unfortunate. I am fortunate enough to live near Salem, and I can find all sorts of fun stuff up there. Drinking coffee, love it. So yeah, that would be my book review or my book suggestion for you guys to kind of start off with if you're looking for something. And if you have book suggestions or if you have something that you're interested in, let me know. I have a growing collection of books at my house because I love to read and consume things. And yeah, always looking for new ideas. All right, so we're just at about the 30-minute mark, which is pretty cool. I hope this was more informative than chaotic. Please feel free to give me as much feedback as possible. It will only help me make this better for you guys. So, like I said, at the end of this, there'll be downloads for you guys to have for creating the Reject Crosses, the Sun Bread, and yeah, that sort of stuff. So, oh, and I'll also include a link for the book because I always hate trying to find things after I hear about them because I never can and it takes me forever and then I forget about it and then I never buy it and then I'm sad. So I don't want you guys to be sad. So I'll include a link at the end and that will conclude my first podcast ever. So thanks for joining me and hopefully I will see you guys soon. Take care. And what I say, merry meet, merry part, merry meet again.